You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. As always, if you want to help support the show, make sure you hit the link in the description to pre-order your copy right now. It's not long until the game's here, so get your pre-orders in. It's myself, Mo Moonsy, alongside me, as always, the dynamic duo, Mr. BJ Armstrong and Mr. Scott Perry. Had a good weekend, boys?
Yeah, weekend has been good, Mo. A little rain in Florida today. Yeah, a little rain today. You know, a little all day today, but off and on. But but Mo, it's still high 80s, so I can't complain.
Hey, you living good. BJ, how about you?
Oh, it's level. We can't complain on this side, Mo. You know, there's a lot of things happening over on your part, on your that side of the pond, that we probably need to discuss. And
I know we're gonna talk basketball, but we have to talk this. Did you guys see the 100-meter final?
Oh, that was fabulous!
No, did you see that? We got to expand our sports talk here today.
So I'm on the train home, like trying to make it home in time to watch the final, and the train decides to stop moving. So I didn't see it, but then someone sent me a picture of like the photo finish.
Right. So you haven't seen the replay?
No, I watched it. I watched it when I got home.
Okay.
But
okay.
All right. Here's one thing I don't understand. In all the pictures, the guy wearing the orange sneakers, his foot is the furthest ahead. How is he not the clear winner of the race? It's the first to cross with the chest.
It's the right chest.
With the chest. Yeah.
The torso. Yeah. So the torso, like right there.
The
shoulder.
Your shoulder. Okay. That's how they do it.
I've been sat here wondering, what is everyone talking about?
Because it looked, when it happened live, I don't think Noah Lyles thought he had won at first, because he went up to the guy from Jamaica who got second. Yeah. And just, you know, kind of patted, you know, and you could see he had that concerned look on his face, but almost like conciliatory. And then, you know, 20 seconds later, when he put his name up top, he went full of Noah Lyles then, like he does.
The U.S. men's basketball team was in attendance to watch after he said NBA champions weren't really the world champions, and I don't think they were too happy about the win. As soon as they announced him winning, I saw a clip of Embiid leaving the arena. So,
come on, Mo, you didn't see that.
I saw that, clear as day, because I think Noah Lyles' mom or his auntie or someone was coming down from the stands to celebrate, and going in the opposite direction was a 7-foot Cameroonian man who plays for Team USA. So, I think but I'll tell you this, it's good to have excitement back in the 100 meters, because I thought once Usain Bolt retired, we wouldn't really be excited forever again. So it's pretty good that everyone's talking about it.
But you know, interesting you bring that up, because I was just saying to a friend of mine, now Lyles won today 9.78. That's flying, that's smoking. That's still two tenths of a second off of what Usain Bolt ran. What did he run?
He ran 9.58.
Yeah,
he was showboating for the final 20 meters.
Exactly.
If he didn't start looking around and smiling and waving his arms, he would have run sub 9.5. So it's like, we'll never know what his actual record would be.
Yeah. Awesome.
Let me ask you guys this. If there was a 100-meter sprint race with every player who's ever played in the NBA, who's getting bronze, silver, and gold?
Wow. 100 meters.
100 so, meters. Know, not 40
basketball
yard dash.
Guys are running about 40, you know, 40 meters.
That's what I'm saying. Not the 40 meters. We're going 100 meters. Any player who's ever played in the NBA, who's going to win bronze, silver, and gold?
Woo.
That's an excellent
question. We might have to do some research on that, Mo.
I'm gonna tell you this.
I don't know. He ran the 100, but he was a world class 400 yard runner. Was Wilt Chamberlain? You know, Wilt Chamberlain won. I think he won in the NCAAs, the 400.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's a different race than the 100. But it's interesting because not a lot of basketball guys have track backgrounds.
Right?
Think about it. A lot of football guys do, but basketball guys, that's an interesting one. I mean, look, Allen Iverson was really fast. He would be one that would probably medal for me, and he was a big time football player too. So I don't know where I'm placing him yet, but and I remember watching him in high school. I mean, you know, obviously we've seen him jet up and down the court, but I've seen him play. I watched him play football as well too, and he was fast. He ran back kicks. He did a lot. So, I think that he would be one of my medalists. I got to think about
that. I'm putting Derrick Rose in now.
Could Derrick go to 100?
BJ, you tell me the answer to that.
But I don't know about the 100. Yeah. He and Russell Westbrook for those 40s.
30, 40. You talking about 100 because you got to start, you got that middle, and then you got that last.
In class, yeah.
See, it's. I don't know. It's someone I'm not thinking of. I got to think about it. That has like that.
You know, some fast players in the history of the game on the court.
Mm-hmm.
Randy Smith was the fastest guy in the NBA alone. Yeah. Way back in time.
Yeah, Randy. But you got to be able to sustain it though.
Sustain it.
You got to have a level of strength too. You know, you got to. You know, there's got to be some power behind it. I got to think about that more. That's a good question. It's a really good question.
I thought you guys would have answers at the ready for that.
No, because we want to give some real thoughtful answers. Like I said, you know, and the only reason why I can go to Iverson, and I know he's slighter build, but watching his speed translate in football, you know, run, you know, and again, he had pads on, distance of the field. You know, I know he could motor up and down.
I think Nate Robinson as well, because he played football and he was insanely quick.
Yeah, he was quick. He can jump, and he's like, yeah, but he was a football player. I don't know what his 40 time was.
4 point.
But I got to believe that, you know, for 40 yard that, you know, you're talking about 40 yards, you're looking at Russell and Derrick Rose.
Yeah, because
John Wall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there would be an advantage for Wembanyama because, like, three strides and it covers 100 meters?
That's why I didn't put Wilt in there, because Wilt was a long stride and running the 400 in one lap. But Wilt was a phenomenal athlete. But again, the 100,
Need someone. I'm trying to think of someone, because Hussein Bolt was tall. He was tall.
Bolt was an anomaly. Sprinters.
A lot of your sprinters are anywhere from like between 5'11", 6'2", maybe. 6'2" would be fairly tall, but same boat.
I remember how he broke down his strategy on how he ran. It was almost impossible to beat him because he knew if he got a certain amount of steps, it was going to be impossible for anyone else to beat. I was listening to him,
and he always came from behind.
Yes.
Because he wasn't the quickest out the block.
According to him, he knew if he got a certain amount of steps in, you couldn't beat him.
Mm-hmm.
And all he had to do was get his steps. Yeah. It was technical, you know, because of his strides. And
I have a suggestion for the 100 meters. What about a prime Dwayne Wade? Because he was quick and he's got that strength and the muscle to carry it for 100.
I don't know if Dwayne had that level of speed.
They called him Flash.
No, I know they called him Flash. And he was smooth. And he was, like you said, quick. You know, quickness, change of direction. That's a different thing than just getting in those blocks, getting off to a quick start.
We need a 6'5", 6'6", athlete that can just motor. I'm trying to think of somebody.
Because Sprewell was fast.
John Wall was super fast.
Yeah, John Wall. Yeah, he was fast.
Not tall enough.
But again, but what we don't know, we I feel comfortable talking about those guys for 50 meters.
Mm.
But 51 to 100 meters, like you said, sustaining that.
Okay, now let me ask you another question. BJ Armstrong versus Scott Perry in a 100 meter sprint. In your primes, not today.
Scott,
in your primes,
Scott, for sure, Scott. I'm going Scott. Scott for sure. Scott.
Now I don't know, but I was good at the 40. Now I ran in college my freshman year. I ran a 4.52 electronic time in the 40. So that was good. You know, now you know, these guys are running 4.2s, 4.3s. But that was good speed. Mm-hmm. But I don't, for 100, I don't know. That's a different race. I probably would have been better running. You know, they run the race different now. Like the 400, guys used to, you know, now the mile is a sprint now. In our era, you know, guys would stride out for those first few and then they'd try to gut it out toward the end.
Yeah. When you rush the 800 meters and all
now,
that.
I got one more question.
If you had to compete in an Olympic event that wasn't basketball, which one would you want to compete in?
Oh, it'd be track and field events. It'd be with the sprints.
But which event? Which one? Would you have the best chance of winning?
Of the best chance of winning?
But like you could train for it. That's a different question. Not just walk into it now, but like if you could go back in time and train to be in one of these other sports, what would it be?
For me, it would be the 200.
200 meters.
Scotty, that's thick.
My big face. You know, I don't think that's still thick. Be the 200. Be the 200.
What about
that
you?
400, that 400.
400 is a lot. 400 is a lot.
That bear jump on you. But they run this four. These guys are just don't even look tired after running 400 meters in 44 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
I know. That's crazy.
I mean, like, no. But my time in the, you know, like I said, in terms of, like you said, the work to get it down, I probably would have been closest at a 200.
Okay. BJ?
Nowhere near what these guys are running now, but I'm just saying, if I had to pick one, just, you know.
If you were born again today, you might be.
Maybe. The event I would love to participate in, that you guys are going to laugh, would be table tennis.
Oh, no, I'm not going to laugh at that. Table tennis can get serious.
No, seriously. Whatever I would go, when we would, you know, you do your tours and you do all your stuff. And whenever you do, when I say the tours, you do, when I was playing, you would go to, you know, I would do the tours with the shoe companies and we go all around the world, right? You go to China, Asia, you know, you go to Europe and there would always be a table, you know, wherever you go, there always a little table there.
Mm-hmm.
And one year I went to China and they brought some professionals. And I thought, you know, just as a casual, it's like one of those games I love to play. No, seriously. It's one of those games that I don't know you guys, but I love to play the game, but I don't play it.
I love ping pong. If I'm somewhere and there is a ping pong table, I'll get busy with it. Yeah, but I don't take my time to play ping pong.
But I hadn't realized that there's like table tennis and then the pros.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so good that I think last time I went to China, we went over there with the Derrick Rose tour and he loves table tennis too. And the pros came and they were so good that it was, we spent like 4 hours just trying to get a point. All we wanted to say was we wanted to get a point.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they play and you, when you're there, they are so, so good. And all I could think of is my advantage has to be my length. It's probably not an advantage, but they were so good that I was like, God, I wish I could be that good. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that would be the sport I would love to.
What do you think?
Anthony Edwards said that was his favorite event.
Yeah, I love it. And I love to play. We would play. I mean, you would play with your teammates. It's like one of those things. I play with my kids. I play with you guys come. I have a table to. But there's levels and there's pros and they are so, so good.
BJ, what would I have a better chance at? Scoring 1 point on table tennis against a pro player or scoring 1 point against a member of Team USA basketball team at basketball?
Basketball for sure.
That's just how difficult it is
you have no chance.
Exactly.
At table tennis. I can tell you that right now. You have no chance. But I mean, I remember it was so much fun. and the serves and the control of that ball and what they do. So that's my
it
that's
is
my
amazing.
Dream.
I mean, you know, just you know, like I said, the reaction time is like, I mean, they're going back and forth and quick, you know.
That's always been, I'm going to give someone else this idea, but one of my things is always, because I don't know, for whatever reason, most of my teammates, we all loved it. Mm-hmm. You know how people play golf? Mm-hmm. I would always imagine, like, why not have a table tennis theme with NBA players? I think everyone would compete because I just saw Anthony Edwards talking about how good he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's something that people would compete in. It's like one of those sports that people talk about, but no one does it. But yeah, right. I love it. It's a lot of fun. I think it's a blast.
Recreational for us.
Yeah.
Killer spin. Us on the show and we'll get a tournament.
Well, speaking of the Olympics, the basketball group stage has concluded and we have the official bracket for the second round. In one half of the bracket, you have France versus Canada, which is going to be an amazing matchup. And on the other side, on that same side, you have Greece versus Germany. Greece managed to get through in the end after their slow start. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have Brazil versus the USA and then Serbia versus Australia. Let's break it down starting at the top. France, Canada. We spoke about Canada on the show last week, saying their weakness was their bigs. We spoke about France last week, saying their weakness is their guards. So we're going to find out which is the bigger advantage here. What's your predictions for this game?
Oh, I'm going with Canada. The guard play is far superior to that what the French team is putting out there. Again, I know I'm going against BJ's guy, Victor Wembanyama, who will be the most talented on the court probably. But, you know, you got MVP.
And they got home court advantage.
And they got home court, but they have not played that well during this tournament. And they've been at home the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the country obviously will be totally behind them. But I have to believe that Canada will extend this game 94 feet. They'll start to play a 94-foot game. If they do that for the entire 40 minutes, I think they're just too deep at the guard positions, you know, starting with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you know, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Jamal Murray. I just like that group really finding a way to go ahead and win. And this group has been together for a long time too. These guys grew up together, know each other very well. I think they have some good momentum, even though they're gonna definitely be the road team here. Give me Canada in this one.
BJ, what about you? We know how much you love Wembanyama.
Yes, and I'm conflicted. I'm conflicted because Scott is right. The basketball maturity and mature side of me is saying Canada. They have phenomenal guard play, Shai and RJ Baird and Dylan Brooks and Jamal Murray. That's a lot to overcome, especially in international play. That's going to be a lot. However, the fan in me, I'm rooting for Victor. And great players always, you know, it's like the hero. They have a challenge. There's no way, but they find a way. So I'm rooting for Victor. The fan in me is saying, I want to see something to go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that. But I don't think it's going to happen. But I'm looking for one of those things because that's what great players do. They find a way to excel even when the odds are tilted the other way. Mm-hmm. But I think Scott is right. But I will secretly be rooting for France.
Well, whoever wins that matchup out of France or Canada goes on to face the winner of Germany versus Greece. Now, Greece started 0-2, but then they came back and won against Australia.
Oh, wow.
Do you see Greece upsetting the world champion Germany in this matchup?
Well, I'll say this. It's the same thing. I don't see them beating
it's the same exact thing.
It's the same. But there's my guy Giannis. There yep. he is. And Scott and I have both been on both sides. When we have that great player on our team, we're in the victory circle. And then when we're playing against that great guy, we thought we had a chance. And that guy. So Victor is capable. I think you said Germany, right? Is that who they're playing? They're playing
Germany, Greece.
I again, the guard play of Schroeder, I think will excel. The Wagner brothers are like, wow. They're you know, they're
good.
Playing.
They're good in the international basketball team.
They're good in it. They're good. I think Germany should do it. I don't think any reason why they shouldn't win that game. However, that guy Giannis, he's capable of carrying a game. Hey, in anything, if one thing a 40-minute game has taught us here in America and anywhere in Europe, anything can happen in one game. Anything can happen. So I'm going to pick Germany, but I'm you know, Giannis is Giannis, and I'll be watching. I can tell you that.
I'm a member of the Giannis fan club as well, as you well know, and have tremendous respect for him. But we're picking games here, and I'm picking the team that's playing better. They won the world championship last summer. They've been really good in this tournament. They have more NBA players on the team. They don't have anybody as good as Giannis, that's for sure. But I just think that there's a togetherness with this group. Schroeder plays at a different level. Even he's a good NBA player, but he looks even better playing with this German team last summer and in this Olympics. So I'm going to pick Germany to advance.
Well, you say, you know, France have a chance and Greece have a chance. What's the percentage chance you're putting on Brazil to beat Team USA?
Not happening.
0%.
Not happening.
BJ? US, 0%? Not,
now that the US is in the one game knockout now, you know, this is the medal round of the tournament. You can't, I expect their focus to be very laser-like. And they're just too deep, too talented. So no, I mean, look, in life, I guess you can say nothing is 100%, but I'm going to say 99.99, whatever that is, just right under 100%. US will win this game.
BJ, you thinking the same?
You know, I think this is the former competitor in me. Did I win every game? No. Did I think I could win? Yes. As I'm watching this tournament, it's one thing that has become clear to me. There used to be a time where the intimidation of USA, it was like, okay, you're playing the USA, and that was just defeat. I think these teams believe they have a chance.
Yep.
I think they do. I know they believe that they could beat them. Now, you would hope that there is another level that they can go to USA basketball based on. I'm all about that. I think they are focused. I'm talking about they USA. I think they're focused. I think they will win. However, was it Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico was like up or
yep.
It was
yep.
close.
Yeah, Puerto Rico quarter. Played them tough for a quarter and a half.
And I'm beginning to here's my only concern with USA basketball. The longer you keep the game close,
yeah,
I don't know what they're going to do. I'm just concerned from that.
I think it comes down to this now, the way the game is played. If you come up against a team who is lights out from three, just randomly, because it happens to random teams all the time, and at the same time, your shooting is not going down and Kevin Durant isn't coming off the bench going 100%, then you're in real trouble. Because if you look at the Puerto Rico game, when they were up in the first quarter, they were taking the first three-pointer they could get as early in the shot clock as they could before that defense could get set up. And it was going down to start the game, but then it averaged out.
Yeah, I'm going to say this and then throw it to Scott. Scott, I'm with you on the 99%. I do think they are very confident. They should. The USA should feel confident. But there's a couple things, and one of them was Mo said. Someone can get hot, randomly hot for no reason at all. And that's a game changer. That's a game changer, right? I mean, people get upset all the time in the NCAA tournament or in and out. Yep. You see these things happen randomly. Okay, that's one. You make shots, it keeps you in the game. But there's another thing that's happened against USA that's really concerned me that I don't think I've ever seen. I see other teams pressuring them full court for 94 feet. Now, that is a concern for me. I've never seen that before where the other teams or the other countries feel that they are just as athletic to pressure them 94 feet. And I don't know what to think of that. I don't know how that translates. Now, Scott, you know, if normally you have the best athletes on the floor, the other team would try to shorten the game.
Yes.
These other teams now, these other countries are extending the game versus, and they're trying to play faster than USA basketball, which I find fascinating. So I can learn something from here. So I got to say, they know something I don't know. And because I'm watching from that lens, they must know something I don't know. I've never seen teams extend their defense versus USA basketball and try to play faster than them to get them to play faster. And USA is trying to like hold it back a little bit, control the tempo. So I don't know what's going on here. Now, so Scott, again, maybe you can answer that. But Scott, it's a first for me to see this in international play.
Well, first of all, let me just deal with the Brazil game. I just don't think Brazil has
that's the easiest matchup in the whole
tournament. That's the easiest matchup of these opening game of these games of the quarterfinal matchups by far. Now, if you're talking about moving ahead, now you know Serbia obviously if they advance, or they're playing Australia, right?
Yeah,
Serbia.
We'll get to that one next.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So anyway, they obviously could give the U.S. a tougher time, but those teams, even though the U.S. has beat them by 20-some points. But reason why, but to answer your question about people extending the court, when you break down the U.S. guards, when we just got done talking about, you know, in the history of the game, who we put up for 100-meter medals in place. None of the guys on this team we mentioned as having that kind of speed. When you look at the guard play, you know, Jrue Holiday, strong, tough, but he's not known as a guy that's really pushing the basketball with great pace. It's going to be more through pass. Derek White, same thing. Anthony Edwards doesn't play point full time. He probably could play with the most speed. But, you know, you could try to extend against him. Steph Curry, we've talked about it, you know, him being a 1.5, 2, you know, he's not a super fast player either. He's quick and clever, and he's older now.
Yeah.
So when you break the roster down, if I was going to play against them, I would try to pick them up and try to utilize defensive shot clock some by turning them a couple times, making it tough for them to bring it up the court. Because if I let them just walk up the court, then I'm not going to be able to match up against them at all. So that's what I know it's contrary to what it used to be, BJ, but if you look back in the history of it, we probably had a number, at least a couple guards who had really good speed that were hard to keep in front. You know, kind of like, you know, like Germany has with Dennis Schroeder. You know, they can play with some pace and with some speed. I don't know, who do we have at the guard position that plays that way? You know, LeBron, you know, we talked about him playing point for him, but LeBron's 39 years old. Yeah, once he gets ahead of steam, he can go on. But if you pick him up as soon as the ball is inbounded, you know,
Yeah.
It can disrupt their rhythm a little bit. And so that's why Canada had Zach Edey, they'd be a problem in this tournament. I still think they're going to be a problem. But if they had Zach Edey, some additional size, they could be problematic, really, really problematic. But that's just my thought.
Well, watching that closely will be Serbia and Australia, who will face the USA if they beat Brazil. Who have you got for Serbia versus Australia?
And they haven't played great, but I'm going to go with Serbia. You know, we talk about the great players of the team. You know, I just think the Joker will do what's required. They're in the medal rounds now, so I think he'll play well. You know, I like Bogdanovic at the guard position for him. Then the other, Nikola Jovic, that plays with the Miami Heat. So I like that group. I believe the Serbia group is probably tougher, 1 through 12. And so I'm going to give them the slight advantage. Even though Australia was one of the teams, I believe, when we first started talking about this tournament, that I thought could be a surprise, because they do have some NBA players. They've got some people that can make shots. And again, like I mentioned with the Canadian group, a lot of these guys have played together for a number of years. So there's a real great familiarity with one another. So it's going to be a good game. It's probably the most, it's going to be a tight game. I think all these games are evenly matched, but the U.S. game against Brazil, to me, they could go either way.
BJ, what are you thinking?
I've been very fortunate to get down to Australia a few times. So I'm going to apologize to all the Australians to say that Serbia is going to be tougher than them. The Aussies is one thing about the Aussies. They're a tough group. They're a tough group of people. Mm-hmm. Now, they're a tough group of people. So I'm going to apologize so we won't get the comments, you know. We won't get the comments. Now, it's one thing about anyone that I've met from Australia. They always say the same thing to me, you know. Australian rules football, you know. Hey, we don't have the pads on over here, you know.
Aussie rules.
Okay. The Aussie rules. So just excuse us. We haven't been down to Australia in a while, but they're a tough group. But I do think Serbia will win. I think Jokic is just too dominant of a player. But I like this Australia team. And, you know, Giddey's been playing the point guard. I think they've...
He's playing as well as I've seen him play.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. But I like their chances. I think it will be a close game. They will compete, Australia. They have veteran players. They will compete. But I think Jokic in the end will be the deciding factor. So I agree that Serbia will advance. But I like this Australian team, and I like what they've done. I like how they've played in this tournament thus far. And they have a chance. I do give them a chance.
Yeah. And these games are all taking place on Tuesday, right?
Yes.
Set your alarms, clear your schedules. And on Wednesday morning, we'll be bringing you the breakdown of all of that. But before Wednesday morning, we've still got more podcasts to come on the way. So make sure you subscribe to the show, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from. And fellas, enjoy one day of rest before a full day of Olympic basketball, which I'm very much looking forward to. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll answer the rest of the questions we didn't get to in Friday's episode. So until next time, you guys know what it is. Get buckets.